Welcome. Today we're diving into a topic that many people have heard of but may not fully understand, hamstring tears, also known as a pulled hamstring. We'll break it down in a way that's easy to follow, whether you're a patient or just someone curious to learn more. The information shared in this deep dive comes from the injury education section of orthoeducation.com, a free, high-quality, peer-reviewed resource designed to help patients better understand musculoskeletal conditions.
And just before we get started, please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with a musculoskeletal problem or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.
Okay, so let's jump right in. When someone says they've pulled their hamstring, what are we actually talking about? It's a muscle strain, right? The muscles on the back of the thigh are either overstretched or actually torn.
That's exactly right. It's an incredibly common injury, especially in sports, but it's often much more than just a simple cramp.
So these hamstring muscles, what's their main job?
Well, they're really the powerhouse for the back of the leg. Their main roles are to bend your knee and to extend your hip. They're central to any kind of propulsive movement.
Which is why we see this injury so often with explosive movements.
Exactly. It commonly happens during activities that demand, you know, intense and sudden acceleration, or pivoting, or braking.
So we're talking about athletes in things like soccer, track and field, especially sprinters. And basketball, it's that moment of maximum demand that causes it to fail.
Precisely. And when it happens, you usually know it. People often report hearing or feeling a sudden pop.
Ouch!
Yeah, or just a sharp, immediate pain deep in the back of the thigh. And that's followed almost right away by muscle tightness. And often it's hard to put your full weight on that leg.
And I imagine the bruising can be pretty dramatic.
It can. Over the next few hours, swelling and then bruising usually start to appear, sometimes tracking all the way down the back of the thigh.
So the word hamstring makes it sound like one thing, but it's not, is it? It's actually a group of muscles.
That's a great point. To really understand the injury, you have to know the players involved. It's a team of three distinct muscles working together.
And what are they?
The group is made up of the biceps femoris, the semitendinosus, and the semimembranosus.
Okay. And they all run from where to where?
They all start way up on the hip bone and run down the entire length of the thigh, crossing behind the knee joint. It's a long muscle complex, which, you know, makes it particularly vulnerable.
So we have these three long muscles. How does the tear actually happen? It isn't just a matter of stretching them too far like a rubber band.
Not usually, no. While a simple overstretch can cause a tear, the most common mechanism is a bit more complex. The tear usually happens when the muscle is contracting powerfully while it's being forced to lengthen. We call this an eccentric contraction.
Okay, that sounds counterintuitive. How can a muscle be contracting and lengthening at the same time?
It does seem that way, but that's precisely why it's such a powerful and, well, dangerous type of contraction. Think about a sprinter. As their front leg swings forward, the hamstring has to fire to rapidly slow down the leg's momentum just before the foot hits the ground.
Ah, so it's acting like a brake.
It's acting like a brake. It's trying to contract and shorten, but the leg's momentum is forcing it to stretch. It's essentially tug of war, and if the force is too great, the muscle fibers just can't handle it. They tear.
That makes perfect sense for a sprinter. What about for, say, a weekend warrior? Is there a more relatable example?
Absolutely. Think about walking backward down a really steep hill.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just the lowering phase of a weightlift, like when you're slowly dropping down into a squat. You're actively resisting gravity, so your muscles are engaged, they're contracting, but they're also lengthening to control the movement. That braking force, that is the eccentric load.
And if that load is too sudden or too much for the muscle, it fails.
That's when it tears.
Got it. Now, injuries are never one size fits all. I know our sources divide these tears into three grades based on how bad they are.
Yes, and that grading system is vital. It really helps establish the scale of the damage and guides the treatment.
So grade one, that's the mildest form, right?
Right. Grade one is basically an overstretching, maybe some minor tearing of just a few muscle fibers. You'll feel pain, some tightness, but your strength is generally still pretty good.
Okay, then what about grade two?
Grade two is a moderate injury. Now we're talking about a partial tear of the muscle itself. This causes a lot more pain, you'll see more bruising, and there's a noticeable loss of strength. You'd probably be limping.
And then there's grade three. The catastrophe level.
That's a good way to put it. A grade three is a complete tear or rupture of the muscle. The pain is sharp, immediate, and disabling. There's a profound inability to use the leg.
And at the most severe end of that spectrum, there's a specialized type of grade three injury. It's called a hamstring avulsion injury. Avulsion sounds violent, like something being ripped away.
It is. It's much more serious than a tear in the middle of the muscle. An avulsion is when the powerful hamstring tendon is literally pulled away from its attachment point on the pelvis.
So it's not the muscle that tears, it's the tendon pulling off the bone.
Exactly. It happens at a specific spot called the ischial tuberosity. That's the bony part of your pelvis you sit on.
So the eccentric force is so huge, it rips the tendon right off the bone.
Precisely. And sometimes the force is so explosive that the tendon actually pulls a small chip of bone away with it. That's called an avulsion fracture.
And that would almost certainly require surgery, I imagine?
Almost always, yes.
The symptoms for that must feel different, higher up than a standard mid-thigh pull.
They are. The pain is sudden, very intense, and it's focused high up in the back of the thigh or even deep in the buttock. And the loss of function is immediate and profound, since the whole muscle group is basically disconnected from its anchor.
So if someone suspects they have a hamstring tear, how does a doctor actually confirm it and figure out the grade?
Well, it always begins with a careful history. We ask about how the injury happened, the symptoms. Then the physical exam is crucial. We're checking for tenderness, looking for bruising, and testing strength and range of motion.
But if you suspect something more serious, like a grade 2 or 3?
Then we need imaging.
And what are you looking for with imaging? Which tool is best?
We often start with an ultrasound. It's quick, and it's good at showing tears and bleeding in the muscle. But for the really serious tears, or anything that might need surgery, an MRI is the gold standard.
Why the MRI for surgical cases?
Because the MRI gives us a spectacular, detailed view of everything. The extent of the damage, how far the tendon is pulled back, the precise location. That detail is absolutely essential for planning a surgical repair.
And x-rays?
We'd use x-rays specifically if we suspect that avulsion injury to see if a piece of bone has been pulled away.
That makes the process very clear. Okay, so now that we've covered the injury and diagnosis, let's just quickly acknowledge our source. We have been talking about hamstring tears, also known as a pulled hamstring, based on information from the injury education section of the free and peer-reviewed patient education website OrthoEducation at www.orthoeducation.com.
So moving on to treatment, the recovery time, as you can imagine, is all over the map.
Depends on the grade, right?
Absolutely. A mild grade 1 strain might be better in just a few weeks, but a severe grade 3 tear, especially an avulsion, can easily take 6 months or even longer to fully heal. The initial focus, though, is always the same. Get the pain and inflammation under control.
Which brings us to the famous RICE protocol. Can you just walk us through that?
Of course. RICE stands for rest, ice, compression, and elevation.
Right.
Rest is non-negotiable. You have to avoid activities that cause pain.
So no walking at all?
Definitely not. Then ice for about 15-20 minutes several times a day to reduce inflammation. Compression with an elastic bandage helps manage the swelling. And elevation, getting the leg up above the heart, also helps with that.
And that first phase is critical.
It's the foundation for everything that comes after.
So once that initial fire is out, maybe after the first week or so, the real work begins. What happens next?
The focus shifts from just passive rest to active restoration. We start with very gentle, pain-free stretching to regain flexibility and stop scar tissue from getting too rigid.
And then strengthening exercises follow soon after.
Yes, but the key here is that it isn't just generic strength training.
Ah, I'm guessing we're circling back to that eccentric contraction we talked about.
We have to. The rehab program absolutely must include strategic, progressive, eccentric loading of the muscle. That's the difference between just getting strong and actually injury-proofing the muscle for the future.
Can you give me a practical example of an eccentric hamstring exercise?
Sure. A classic one is the Nordic hamstring curl. You have someone hold your heels down, and you slowly lower your body toward the floor, using your hamstrings to control the descent for as long as you can.
That sounds incredibly difficult.
It is. It's very intense, which is why it has to be introduced slowly, usually with a physical therapist. You are, by definition, recreating the mechanism of injury, but in a controlled way.
That controlled exposure is what teaches the muscle how to handle that breaking force again.
Exactly. And beyond the hamstring itself, we also focus on balance and core strengthening to make sure the whole system is working efficiently.
The pressure to get back to a sport must be huge. But if you rush this phase, you're just setting yourself up for another tear.
Recurrence is the single biggest complication. The research is very clear on this. The recurrence rate is quite high if an athlete returns to their sport before completing that aggressive eccentric strengthening phase. The muscle has to be durable, not just pain-free.
Now, what about those really severe cases? When does surgery enter the picture?
Well, Surgery is actually pretty rare for most muscle strains. It's reserved for specific situations.
Like the avulsion injury we already talked about?
Yes, a complete avulsion where the tendon is detached is a clear indication. But also for those complete grade 3 ruptures where the ends of the tendon have pulled far apart, they just can't heal on their own.
And what is the goal of the surgery?
The goal is pretty straightforward. To reattach the torn ends of the tendon back to the bone, usually with strong sutures or anchors, to restore the muscle's original length and tension.
And I imagine the recovery from that is a massive commitment.
It is. Post-op recovery involves a very structured physical therapy program that takes many months. You're typically looking at 6 to 9 months before a return to high-level sport is even considered. You just have to respect the biology of healing.
So overall, the prognosis sounds really good with the right treatment. But are there any long-term complications people should know about?
Well, as we've said, re-injury is the biggest risk if rehab is cut short. But beyond that, scar tissue can be a problem. Significant scar tissue can form at the injury site, and it's less flexible than muscle tissue. This can lead to chronic stiffness or a persistent feeling of tightness even long after the initial pain is gone.
What about chronic weakness?
That can happen if a severe tear heals poorly or isn't surgically repaired when it should have been. It can permanently impact explosive activities, and in very rare severe cases, if there's a lot of scarring near the sciatic nerve, you can get nerve irritation.
It really underscores why doing the full rehab program is so important.
It's non-negotiable.
Okay, so to bring it all home, let's talk prevention. What's the best defense against this?
It really comes down to consistency. Consistent stretching to maintain flexibility, and regular targeted strengthening, with a special focus on that eccentric work. And of course, a proper dynamic warm-up before any activity is absolutely fundamental.
This has been an incredibly detailed deep dive. We've covered the 3 specific muscles, the grading system, the huge difference between a mid-thigh tear and a severe avulsion, and the absolute necessity of eccentric strengthening. The key takeaways for you are that eccentric contraction is often the culprit, RC is your first line of defense, and a gradual, supervised return to activity is the only way to avoid that painful re-injury cycle.
And, you know, building on that idea of the eccentric phase, that moment of lengthening under tension, I want to leave you with a thought. Considering how crucial that phase is for building resilience, what daily activities, completely outside of sports, might be unexpectedly straining your hamstrings without proper conditioning.
That's a great thought to chew on. We have just discussed hamstring tears based on information from the free, easy-to-understand patient education website, OrthoEducation, available at www.orthoeducation.com. Please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.